You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's tempting every offseason to want the Chicago Bears to add more at wide receiver, but I think this is a year where we shouldn't expect to see too many new faces at the position. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're looking at what the Chicago Bears have at wide receiver and what changes we could expect this offseason. We'll look at the depth that they already have on the roster, including a name you might not have heard of that we should be keeping an eye on as training camp comes around. And then we will wrap up the week-long Ultimate Division crossover here on the Locked On Podcast Network with more of a bigger picture discussion about where the division could go in 2020. The popularity of fantasy football has us always thinking about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, really above all other positions. And so it's perfectly natural to look at what the Bears have at the skill spots and want to see maybe something a little bit extra at wide receiver. But I think given the players that they have on the roster now and some of the other needs, particularly at a couple of those other skill positions, I'm not expecting much in terms of additions at wide receiver this offseason. Of course, the potential change coming would be the release of Taylor Gabriel, who remains a salary cap potential casualty cut, a player that if the Bears were to release him, they would save about $4.5 million, and he just hasn't quite been as productive as they might have liked. But even without Taylor Gabriel, you still have, obviously, Allen Robinson as your number one wide receiver, likely a contract extension incoming for him. You've got Anthony Miller, who maybe didn't necessarily take as big of a step forward last year as we would have liked, but flashed a couple of those 100-plus yard games, and I think as he continues to mature, and we've heard Matt Nagy say some very positive things about Anthony Miller's development, he's that much closer to being ready to be a true number two wide receiver in the NFL. He looks the part, we've seen the flashes, and it's just a matter of getting more of it next season, and every expectation should be that we will get a better Anthony Miller in year three. Then you have Javon Wims, who's got something. We're not sure how much. He's not going to be a number two the way Anthony Miller is, but a guy who can rotate as a three or a four and get some snaps and use that big body in the red zone and be valuable to this offense. How valuable, I think, to be determined. And maybe a similar story for Riley Ridley, just because he's still so young. We got to see him in some rotational snaps, but not really a lot for us to go off of to say, yep, he's definitively going to be this or that. But there's certainly some talent there that we haven't gotten to quite see in action. And then Cordarrelle Patterson has his carved out role on this offense, some of that running back, some of that wide receiver, but that's five guys right there that have made a pretty strong case to see the field. So on the surface, there's not necessarily a big gap in this receiver group. There's always room to add more receivers, but as you start assessing elsewhere on the Bears roster, there's much bigger needs that need to be addressed before maybe a wide receiver could be more of a luxury. Because I think just the main thing you might see them missing is that speed deep threat with Taylor Gabriel released, and the Bears don't have a lot of cap space to go out and do something big there. But there is a name on this roster right now that you probably haven't heard of that I think you should keep an eye on moving forward. They signed Alex Wesley out of Northern Colorado to a reserve future contract this offseason. And he's a guy, he's bounced around the league a little bit, so we'll keep expectations low. But he's a track runner at Northern Colorado, in addition to playing receiver and finishing his last two seasons each with over 1,000 yards, if I remember correctly. Definitely, you know, a small school prospect, but a great deep vertical threat. And the key there is that he's not just the go route. You know, you think back to like Kevin White coming out of West Virginia, was very limited as a route runner. He was just sort of just a vertical threat. But we've seen Alex Wesley run a full route tree at Northern Colorado. He can win in the intermediate in addition to the deep. You know, he likes to hit the post, he likes to hit the corner, he likes to go deep, but he can win in more ways than that, but that's certainly going to be his calling card. Coming out of the draft, he drew comparisons to Will Fuller of the Houston Texans. I see a little bit of Robbie Anderson from the New York Jets as well, and I think he's a guy we definitely need to watch through training camp because there's a need for what his skill set provides, and it's a great opportunity for him to carve out a role. I mean, obviously, an undrafted free agent who hasn't stuck around on a team, so keep the expectations low. But I think he's another example of the Bears having some guys on the roster already that they like in terms of young developmental prospects. So I just don't think free agent dollars are going to go into that position, and I don't think a significant draft investment is going in there. It is a deep wide receiver class, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them use, you know, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh round pick on the position just because it's good value in this upcoming class. But overall, I wouldn't expect the Bears to add much at wide receiver and kind of run it back with their same guys, developing the young ones and trying to take that next step forward in 2020. Now, if you want to see your favorite baseball team start taking that next step forward in 2020, then you should follow them down to Arizona this spring for Cactus League spring training. Take a break from this Chicago winter and go down there, enjoy the amazing weather and landscapes. They've got exciting outdoor adventure, incredible foods, and 75 degree temperatures every day. It really makes Arizona the perfect home base for baseball fans. So 15 MLB teams, including both of the ones in Chicago, they all go down and play in 10 different stadiums, all within about 50 miles of the greater Phoenix area. But it's a pretty relaxed environment where you can go to games a little early, meet some of the players, get some autographs beforehand, bring the kids, really help them get that rich baseball experience. And when you're not at the ballpark, you can bring the family out to plenty of different resorts and hotels. They've got water parks, science museums, aquariums, so much to do for anyone of all ages. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. As promised, we wrap up our Ultimate Division crossover here on the Locked On Podcast Network, looking at the NFC North as a whole with Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers, Matt Deary from Locked On Lions, and Luke Braun from Locked On Vikings.
All right, the final day of our ultimate crossover. Hopefully it has been the ultimate crossover for you listening at home. I am Peter Bukowski with Locked On Packers. I am with the whole NFC North team, Luke Braun, Matt Deary, Lauren Cox. Luckily, a lot of easy names. You guys are really making it easy on me. The NFC North in 2020, as we look ahead, is going to be competitive. Every team is going to feel like they have a shot at the playoffs. So I want to start with one of the two teams that didn't make the playoffs and is close. Lauren, with the Bears, is there a pathway that you see to getting back there? And what is the thing that you think will keep the Bears potentially from making it back and competing for the NFC North?
It's the obvious answer, but it all comes back to that quarterback position. I think the fewer games Mitchell Trubisky starts in 2020 potentially means the better an opportunity. I mean, I think the path is similar to the Tennessee Titans model. I think that's going to be the way the Bears opt for. And I think the road to the playoffs is Trubisky struggles for the first X number of weeks, 4 games, 6 games, 8 games, and maybe you win half or a third of those, and then another quarterback comes in and starts to put things together and has the offense operating just a little bit more smoothly than Trubisky was able to do. And you pair that with a defense that should be back in the top 10 range where it's been kind of hovering the last few years. And I think, you know, a strong late season stretch with a backup quarterback who was brought in because they had the ability to start, that's sort of like my path. It's hard for me to envision another scenario where Trubisky has so much support around him and plays well enough to really carry this team the way that they're going to need. They can't, it's going to be unreachable for them to recreate what they did in 2018 in a way where the quarterback play didn't make that big of a difference on a week in and week out basis, because we haven't really seen a lot of fluctuation from Trubisky. He's kind of always stayed at this baseline level of can hit some impressive throws in clutch moments, but misses a lot of the easy ones. But it's been a question of, have they been able to just be perfect around him? They were pretty darn close in 2018 and pretty darn far in 2019. And I think if they can
figure out that position, so many other things around them will improve as a result and make everybody else's job a little bit easier and be that difference between playoffs and not.
Is there a discussion worth having about who the best quarterback in the division is going to be in 2020?
I thought, honestly, for the first half of last season, I thought it was Matthew Stafford. Matt Deary, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think at least at the start of the year, for sure. Like Kirk Cousins was fantastic. Rodgers, you know, it's funny, the people, and Peter will tell you that, you know, the whole Rodgers thing, and Peter twice on our shows and we did the crossovers, like he's not playing all that well, but you wouldn't have known it because they were winning and occasionally some gaudy numbers. But yeah, Stafford, and as long as he's back next year, which I think he will be, and the health thing is a huge concern for Detroit with Stafford, two straight years now with this broken bones in his back. They claim he's fine. And there's all that Tua talk, which we talked about earlier in the week, that is hovering around Detroit. Do they pull the trigger and do this? But I would say Stafford had a great start to the year, but how can you argue with what Cousins did, the whole season?
What about moving forward, though, if we're going to project it forward to 2020? Who do we think the best QB will be in 2020?
Teddy Bridgewater on the Bears.
Don't get the Bears fans listeners' hopes up.
You stay away from Teddy.
Hey, he would be cherished in Chicago.
Yeah, if you keep Cousins in a wide zone, which is what they'll do, Cousins can thrive in a wide zone. The best years he's had in his whole career have been with McVay or Kubiak. Wide zone, Shanahan scheme, and they're going to do that again, and I think you could get a good year out of Cousins. Hard to argue against Rodgers or know what you're going to get out of him and know what age is doing, or is he going to stay healthy, and more questions have popped up over the last 3 years. But I think if you wanted to bet Cousins, I wouldn't blame you. I don't know. It's hard for me to reconcile that with the other, kind of nervous breakdown moments that he has, fumbling and stuff. And he was way more conservative. And there's plenty of problems. A lot of Vikings fans are talking about drafting Jordan Love or, trading up to try to get somebody and get a new quarterback. Or should we even extend Cousins in the first place? So it's far from a certainty, but I get why you'd bet on him.
Is it weird that I didn't hate the Pro Football Talk suggestion of Kirk Cousins for Jimmy G?
I don't know how to think about that because I don't know anything about Jimmy G. I have no evaluation on him. But sure, a guy who can only thrive in a wide zone on a huge contract for another guy who can only thrive in a wide zone on a huge contract. Yeah, why not?
Do we have a clear picture of who the best coach is in this division?
Right? I mean, it's got to be LaFleur right now, right?
That's what it feels like.
He's the only one who's not on the hot seat if things go bad in 2020.
That's true. I mean, I personally am torn because I have so much respect for Mike Zimmer. I think he's a really good defensive coach. I do worry about his tendency to feel like the run game needs to be everything. I worry about any coach. Like Pete Carroll is the same kind of guy. I think Pete Carroll is a hell of a coach, but his insistence on running the ball is holding his team back. Do you think Mike Zimmer can adjust? Is that something that because if he can, if this offense all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is throwing it 30 times a game, maybe that's not even the best thing for him. But I do wonder about that with Zimmer.
Yeah, they got a lot more aggressive in 2019. Even though they passed the ball fewer times, they made more out of those passes. Yeah. And it was just more about shot plays and, long, more intermediate passes and stuff like that. But yeah, that is a huge weakness of Mike Zimmer, is this idea that, he feels like he needs to come in and say, no, run the ball more. I think with Kubiak at the helm, Zimmer will feel a lot better kind of taking a hands-off approach than he did with the very green, very young Kevin Stefanski. But I also think that Gary Kubiak feels the same way about the run, and that they need to set up all these things before they can get away with play action. And I think they're wrong about that. And I think that that's a weakness for Zimmer, but I've always thought that Zimmer was at least a top 10, if not a top 5 coach. He's always gotten more out of his players than their talent level. I don't think that that's really been untrue. I mean, they've been a top 10 team since he got here. And the only, a lot of the arguments against him are these kind of fallacies rooted in but they didn't win a Super Bowl, and it's whatever.
I thought LaFleur did a whale of a job this year, for sure, especially with all that Aaron Rodgers talk at the start of the year in July and August. Can they get along? Will this young kid be able to reel him in? It's funny with Zimmer, dude won a playoff game on the road this year. He comes to Detroit and does that, he'll get the damn keys to the city.
And by the way, you're welcome, Peter, because now the worst 13-3 team in history is the only one that lost on wild card weekend. So that's our favor to you.
Hey, look, Packer fans, because there was no question Packer fans were way more afraid of the New Orleans Saints than the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, it wasn't even close. I thought the Saints were second best team in the conference, and they lost.
That's their best team.
Well, funny how quiet Lauren is right now. If we did this crossover a year ago today, oh my God, it'd be a matinee love fest.
And like, rightfully so.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Nagy got in some areas more blame than he deserved this season. There was certainly criticism for his indecision with the running game and not really sticking with it when it would struggle a little bit, but there were some offensive line issues in there, and then the quarterback issues. I mean, some Bears fans are saying, I'll stand with Trubisky and let Matt Nagy go. So it's been like one of these fights of like,
ew.
You want to defend Matt Nagy and be like, hey, wait a minute, let's be serious here about the quarterback and the coach situation, but you don't want to excuse some of the mistakes he made either. So you're kind of just best to, I guess, stay quiet about Matt Nagy and see what he's able to do with this offense next year, because the scheme is there. We've seen it, and he's had to dumb some things down for Trubisky and scale some things back and simplify a lot of passing concepts that we're just not seeing the full open Kansas City Andy Reid type offense in Chicago because of what's happening with the quarterback position. So I give Matt Nagy the benefit of the doubt on a lot of that, but eventually there has to be some production here, and eventually he's got to put his foot down and say, okay, quarterback's not getting it done. Let's get somebody who can get it done so we can let Matt Nagy be Matt Nagy.
You can't get rid of him until you have a quarterback.
We have to see Matt Nagy with a real quarterback. But this is to the point we made earlier. If Matt Nagy thinks that quarterback is Mitch Trubisky, that says as much about him as anything else, and that becomes a problem.
It's definitely put up or shut up time for the Chicago Bears in 2020, but I think we can say the same a little bit about the Vikings and the Lions as well, with their championship windows starting to shrink a little bit. We'll get more into what's ahead this offseason for all four NFC North teams up next on this Ultimate Division crossover on Locked On Bears.
I want to know from each of you, if you were in charge, you know, you were running the team and you could pick one thing this offseason, whether it's a draft pick, a free agent, acquisition, a trade, the one thing that you'd like to see your team that is feasible, at least everyone, you know, trade for Julio Jones or whatever. Give me something feasible or at least possible that your team could do. And let's start with Matt.
Well, the Detroit Lions are picking third. They need players. If they just sit there at three and just draft a guy, Jeffrey Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Derek Brown, all needs. Mm-hmm. They're stupid. Bob Quinn has got to trade back. He's got to dangle that Tua pick. He's got to spend the next couple of months telling everybody how much they love Tua. They're going to work out Tua. They're going to interview Tua. Drive the price up. Make Miami beg for it. And then, you know, and then the Dolphins can send you the fifth pick and a couple of second rounders or one of their first rounders and accumulate those picks. And then if you draft at five, you still might get Okuda there or Brown. Or whomever, Simmons, might all be there. You know, to me, that's a no-brainer. If they just sit at to me, I'd be okay if they took Tua. I would be. I'm not high on it, but I'd get it. Trade back. If they just stay at three, don't trade down, and take Okuda or one of these guys, I'll shake my head. The Lions must trade back, accumulate picks, and to get as many players as they can.
I like it. Lauren?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but give me a quarterback. I mean, really, like, I think, how about this, for like a wish list kind of thing, I find myself in the camp that get Phillip Rivers if he's, I mean, and obviously Tom Brady and Drew Brees, to be determined whether either one of those is actually available, but I'd roll the dice on Phillip Rivers, try that for a year or two, because I feel like that's about where this window is for this Bears team in terms of all the guys they've got locked in on contracts defensively. You know, 2 years from now, then you'll start to have guys pushing 30 and those dollar amounts being pretty difficult. So, you know, ride for a couple years of Phillip Rivers with Matt Nagy, see if you can, you know, sneak into that Super Bowl discussion. And if it doesn't work out and Rivers is over the hill, then you're kind of back where you would have been without him anyway, still needing a quarterback and kind of in this time to reopen the championship window and blow things up a little bit. So yeah, give me the veteran, potentially future Hall of Fame quarterback that I don't think is going to happen. I think the Bears will go with more of a backup competition option, but give me the bona fide starter who I think Matt Nagy could really do some things with.
I love that. Luke, what are you thinking?
I'm agonizing. On one hand, I want them to get a waiting in the wings Patrick Mahomes style quarterback that could take over if you decide you don't like Kirk Cousins. On the other hand, I'm thinking about the defensive line and how the interior of the defensive line was so bad and draft Javon Kinlaw or something. But I think I'm going to go with the problem that has plagued the Vikings for like a decade, and it's offensive line. Give me Josh Jones. He is the perfect tackle for his own scheme. He can plug and play, be a day one starter at left tackle, allow you to move Riley Reiff inside to guard, potentially restructure that contract, save a little bit of money. And then you would have an offensive line that can actually protect Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins in a wide zone with a good offensive line, I like those chances.
Josh Jones from Houston, right? The offensive tackle, he's big, he's athletic. That works out for me. I like not a draft pick, not a free agent acquisition. I would be calling Les Snead, who needs to get off money, and saying, what is it going to take for us to get Robert Woods? Because I think he is someone who Matt LaFleur knows. It would save the Rams, who have to pay Cooper Kupp. They've got to pay Jared Goff, who, by the way, is the most expensive player in the league next year by salary cap cost. That is not great for them.
Yikes.
And if you're going to go build long term, you have to pay Cooper Kupp. And it's just untenable to pay Kupp, Cooks, and Woods. And I don't think anyone's going to trade for Brandon Cooks. So you're stuck. Even if it's going to be a second, even a second and some stuff. If you put Woods in this Packers offense, reliability to create third downs, he can create shot plays. You can give him those jet sweeps, deep overs, deep posts, whatever you want to run. Robert Woods can run it. And I think he immediately puts the Packers in that favorite conversation in that kind of position. That's where I am for that.
Can I just throw a quick curveball at everybody's way? There's reports coming out. The Dolphins are trying to move up to 2 to get Tua. So if the Redskins are somehow trading with Miami and Miami takes Tua, Chase Young at 3, the Lions, if that were to happen, the Lions should run that card up to Goodell before they even get through Tagovailoa, last name for Miami. So keep watch for that as well if some of these reports out of South Florida are true, that Miami's trying to talk to the Redskins, because if Chase Young is somehow there at 3, then I'd be okay with them taking him there.
Yeah, totally flipping your script there with that one, Matt.
Makes me want Josh Jones all the more.
There you go.
Well, and that could be posturing too, right? That could be Miami's way of saying, hey, if you don't play ball, Lions, we'll go over your head. That's what it sounds like. I mean, that seems... Because they don't really have to go up to 2. Because the Washington's not going to take a quarterback.
They could Josh Rosen, Dwayne Haskins, though, and take another first-round quarterback 2 years in a row. I suppose they could.
Also a brand-new front office there in Washington now. So
Dan Snyder's still in charge, so always expect the unexpected with them. Do we have any final top-line thoughts, treetop thoughts about 2020 in the NFC North? Anyone?
Still going to be one of the best divisions in football, I think.
It's going to be competitive. I think the good teams are going to fall back, and I think the bad teams are going to come up, and then it's going to be another weird one where everybody's two bounces away from going 9-7.
I think Minnesota wins it. If I was just guessing, I'm with Peter about the Packer regression, and I don't know. Maybe I like what Minnesota's doing, and they get healthy Thielen back and everything else. I think they'll definitely win it.
Wow, definitely win it.
Those are fighting words. Liked.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not even that confident.
It
feels like one of those divisions that the 10-6 could be enough, just because there'll be so much beat up teams that it's going to be a battle every time you play someone in the NFC North. There are no gimmies in this division. This is not, some of those AFC divisions where you have 2 or 3, 4 games a year where it's just write it in, you're winning.
Well, that'll do it for our week-long Ultimate Division crossover here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed getting some different perspectives from the NFC North rivals. Obviously not going to be glowing about the teams that we all play against every year, but it's an interesting look from maybe a different angle that you might not get from Chicago. I'm curious to hear a little bit more of your feedback. We've heard a lot of good things across the Locked On Podcast Network, and love to hear more from you. Did you enjoy hearing from Peter, Luke, and Matt this week? Did you not? And if so, what didn't you like, and what would you like differently out of something like this if we were to do it again? Of course, we'd be nice. We're friends with Peter and Luke and Matt. They do a great job of covering their respective teams. Even if you didn't like exactly what they had to say against the Chicago Bears, it's still, I think,
a worthwhile exercise, and always like to hear feedback from everyone who tunes in all week, because we appreciate you guys listening in and having fun along with us. If you want to tweet at Locked On Bears with some of your thoughts, or comment on the Locked On Bears Facebook page, or even take advantage of our phone line that you can text or call and leave a voicemail, the phone number is 312-620-8590. While you're at it, I hope you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be back next week with a look at some more of the potential quarterback options for the Bears, as far as guys that could be hitting the free agent market or guys that could be available for trade, and figure out some of the different dynamics that might go into what the Bears' decision-making process could be in terms of dollar amount value and trade compensation value, and how that all fits in with Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago. So make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears, because it is a long offseason. We're here to get through it together, have some fun along the way, and most importantly, bear down.